All right, now, as you know, we've been spending the last 5 weeks on prayer. We started with the prayer of Jabez, and then 4 weeks we spent on the Lord's Prayer. And really, I've been spending quite a bit of time on this. It's been purposeful because I really feel that prayer needs to be the foundation of every Christian's life. It's not just a nice to have. It needs to be an essential part of our lives. It's like these two businessmen that were really going through a difficult time in their business. And so eventually the one turns to the other one and says, oh, I think we need to pray. The other one looks at him and he says, has it come to that? It needed to start with that, man. And so for some people, prayer is their last resort instead of their first response. God wants prayer to be our first response, where we wake up, as Jonathan said, we wake up in the morning praying and thanking God. And if there are concerns and challenges, we bring them to Him. But I want to share something with you this morning, and I've been waiting all these weeks to share it because I wanted to just lay a foundation, as it were. I want to share something with you that I believe will take our prayer to the next level. We'll take it to a level of power and effectiveness. And this is not my idea or opinion. This comes from Scripture. But it'll take our prayer to a level of power and effectiveness that we won't have if we don't practice it. And this is praying together. Getting into agreement with another believer. Taking hands with them, as it were. Uniting your faith with them and praying together. And so the title of my message today is The Power of Agreement. The Power of Agreement. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000. Not 2,000. 10,000. When we pray with somebody else, there's a multiplication factor that kicks into gear. That's why James says here in chapter 5, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Notice it doesn't say pray for yourself. Of course we can do that. But there's something that happens when we pray for each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And that's why the pastors are available after every service. You may not be aware of it, but after every service, they're in front of you. They're available to pray with you, simply to take hands, to unite their faith with yours, and to pray power into that situation. That's why at the end of our small groups, our cell groups, one of the things that we'll do every single week, are there any prayer requests? It's not just, well, it's a nice thing. Can we pat you on the back and maybe pray for you? No. Are there any prayer requests? This is your opportunity. Because if you're going for an interview this week or for surgery or anything like that, now's the time to pray. Find somebody that'll pray with you. Unite your faith and pray together. And not the person that says, I'm praying for you, but meanwhile, They're not even thinking about you, let alone praying for you. Not that person. Find somebody who will really pray. And by the way, never say to somebody, no, I'm praying for you, because it's a nice thing to say, like, how are you doing? But you're not interested in how they're doing. Never say that about prayer. Praying for you. And then you don't pray. If you say to somebody, and I've made this a part of my life. If I say to them, I'm going to pray for you, I make a point of praying. I've told you before, one of my habits is I write a little sticky note on one of those post-its on my kitchen counter. And the family knows, don't touch that thing. Dad's praying. And so if I say, I'm going to pray, I'm telling you, I'm going to pray. Do you know Jesus used the power of agreement? Remember before he was to be crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane? Now, obviously, there were lots of times where Jesus prayed alone. Come on, Scripture's full of that. And it actually says we prayed alone. So it's not wrong to do that. But when there was a big challenge in his life, What did he do? He took three of his disciples with him. The three, Peter, James, and John. Listen to what he says to them. He says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Can you believe this is Jesus? That he was going through such a difficult time that he says, my soul's crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me, he says to them. What is he saying? Pray with me. Pray with me. Jesus knew how to pray. I mean, if ever there was somebody who knew how to pray, somebody who spent so much time in prayer, this guy was a prayer warrior, prayer intercessor. But he also knew the power of agreement. And so he says to them, he says, pray with me. Now, I want you to notice something. He didn't take all of his disciples with him. He took three out of the 12. Why? Not all of your friends will be able to pray with you. Not all of your friends have the faith. Not all of your friends are prepared to stand in the... Not all of your friends have the discipline to pray. They don't even pray for themselves. And so those aren't the people that you ask to pray with you. You know, they say, oh, you know, I'm praying for you. Yeah, whatever. And I'm not saying that flippantly, because we know who really prays for us. I have a handful of people that I can turn to. Not 100. A handful. My mom is one of them. And I know if I ask these friends to pray with me, I know they'll pray with me. If I ask them to fast with me, they'll fast with me. So they'll text me during the week. I've been praying for you this morning. I don't have to remind them. I don't have to, you know, beg them and encourage them. I know they're going to stand with me. Let me just say to you, if you're going to ask somebody to pray with you and their attitude is, well, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen. You know, this is a big thing. That's not your person. That's not your person. They're not going to be praying for you. They're probably going to be praying against you. You know who you need? When you're telling somebody about your problem or your challenge or your concern, you're just sharing your heart. You're still halfway busy telling, and they say to you, let's trust God. I'll pray with you. God can do a miracle. That's your person. That's the person that's got faith. That's the person that will stand in the gap with you. Those are the people that you turn to. Listen, let me just say to you, when you ask somebody to pray with you, it's not to make you feel better, by the way. Because, you know, at least I've got someone. It's to make your prayers better, all right? It's not so that you can be a little bit encouraged because, you know, at least I've got somebody to pray with me. No. It's to release the power of heaven into your situation. That's why we get people to pray with us. Listen to what Jesus said here in Matthew 18. He says, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Notice he doesn't say if 6 or 8 or 12. He says 2. He says, just find somebody to stand in. Alone, you are not going to be able to do it. You will not see the breakthrough. You will not see the miracle on your own. Find somebody to do it. And so all God wants us to do is just to take hands with another believer, to combine our faith. And one will put 1,000 and two 10,000. Suddenly, there's a multiplication factor of spiritual power available to you and me. Listen to what it says here in James chapter 5. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? Now listen to this. You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you. Notice that. Call the elders. Plural. There's power in agreement. To come and pray over you and anointing you with oil. You see, and it doesn't say anybody anoints with oil. The elders anoint, by the way. And so, call for the elders to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Now listen to the outcome. And such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. and the Lord will make you well. Now, again, I want to say, there's nothing wrong praying by yourself or for yourself. But when you pray with another believer, amazing things happen in the spiritual realm. So let's say you're facing a huge problem. Something that when you look at it, man, this is big. I don't know how it's going to happen. Because very often, if you and I can't see how it's going to unfold, if we can't figure it out, what happens? We get discouraged, isn't it? And so we start, without us even realizing it, we start agreeing with the negative. We start saying to ourselves, man, I don't know how this is going to happen. Simply because we can't figure it out. We don't see an outcome. I don't know how this is going to happen. This thing is too big. This amount is too big. This has been like this for too long. What are we doing? We're getting into agreement with the negative. We're speaking life over the negative. So in other words, we are trusting for the negative to come to pass in our life instead of putting our faith out there. That's not how miracles are achieved. That's not how breakthroughs are accomplished. We've got to get together with somebody else and say, you know what? It looks impossible, but God is the God of the impossible. I'm going to trust God. Yeah, I don't know how He's going to do it. I cannot figure it out, but I don't have to, because God can figure this thing out. So be careful when you face something that's big or something that's impossible in your mind. Remember, it's possible to Him. There was a couple in the Bible who couldn't have children. And so they were praying, they were trusting God. Their names were Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were God-fearing people. And so Zechariah was working in the temple, by the way. And so we pick up the story here in Luke chapter 1, verse 7. Let me read it to you quickly. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, when Scripture says somebody was old, remember, some of them got to 900 years and crazy stuff like that. So when Scripture says somebody was very old, all right? One day, Zechariah was serving in the temple for his order was on duty that week. So in other words, it was their turn. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. Remember, he's in there alone. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. And Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." This is standard angel answer when they appear to people. Because every single account in Scripture, you can go and check, they were afraid, they were shaking, and the angels had to calm them down and say, "It's all right, you're not going to die. Just, you know, it's fine. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Listen to this. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John." He'd become John the Baptist, by the way. "And you'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. And he must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth." What incredible news. Here they are. They've been praying for years and years and years. Bible says they're very old. God decides to bless them with a child. And God could have just made her fall pregnant. Granted, she would have probably had a little heart attack. And so, when she discovered that. And so, he decides to give poor old Zach a little heart attack and send an angel. But God is so good that God actually sends this announcement, sends the angel with the announcement. And you would think Zechariah would go, "Wow, this is amazing. We've been praying so long. I can't wait to go and tell old Lizzie what's happening." But he doesn't do that. Listen to what he does. He actually sounds like Eeyore. How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. He's politically correct. Well done, Zax. Then the angel said, now listen to this. He says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. You can sense he's slightly ticked off. He's saying to him, do you know who I am? I'm not just any angel. I'm one of the archangels. I'm Gabriel. And I don't just roam the earth and look after the outskirts of heaven, you know, the Free State section over there. No. He says, I stand in the very presence of God. It was God who sent me, you stupid clown. I'm sure that's what he was thinking. All right. Doesn't say so over here. But now, listen to what he says to him. He says, but now, since you didn't believe what I said, you'll be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. So why was he unable to speak? Why was he mute? Was it punishment? No. The angel knew if he went home with negativity, if he went home with doubt, maybe Aunt Lizzie would have gotten into agreement with him. And if they got an agreement for the wrong thing, they'd have the wrong thing. And so he was trying to protect them from messing up what God was trying to do in their lives. I want to say to you, in difficult times, it's so important who you allow to speak into your life. Because if you have the wrong people speaking into your life, they may discourage you and keep you from the very things God's trying to do in your life. And so they may talk you right out of your healing, or they may keep you from going after your dream, the very thing God's trying to do in your life. But because of their negativity, it almost puts water on the flame. There's a little bit of faith, there's a little bit of trust, and a little bit of excitement in your heart. Yes, of course, you're not sure how it's going to happen. Now you speak to the wrong people, and guess what happens? They poured water on the flame. Do you know this is what happened to Nehemiah? He started rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Massive, big walls. Not little walls like you and I have around our estates and stuff. Walls big enough that a chariot could drive on the top. Now he's got to rebuild these walls. It's almost an impossible task. But there were two guys who were constantly trying to distract him, trying to discourage him. And he knew if he lent his ears out, if he listened to them, maybe he would look at the task and think, man, this is crazy. You know, I don't know. And doubt would creep into his heart. And so he avoided them like the plague. Listen to what the Bible says. Sanballat and Geshem sent this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages. There's a great mug in Binya. Come and talk to us. He let them know, sorry, I can't come. I'm too busy. Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, man, these guys are not letting up. Sanballat sent his aid to me with the same message. And what does Nehemiah do? Send the same response. Because he knew these guys weren't for him. They're against him. And they're gonna try and discourage him. And I want to say to you, whenever you're busy with something big in your life, whenever you're busy with something important, just know you will always have two groups of people. You will have those who are for you, those who will encourage you, those who will say, go for it, I'm praying with you, I'm trusting. And then you can have a small percentage of critics. You'll have those that will say, hey, so excited for the new church, let's build that church. Man, this place is so full, we're not getting parking and seats, let's get a big auditorium. You know, if we see what God started doing in 1907, and how this church has grown and what God has done. And yeah, we are part of that. We're privileged to be a part of what God is doing. This is amazing. Let's go for it. Let's do it. I'm with you. There are plenty of them. Then there's one percentage, the Eeyores. Do we really need to have another church? Is it, it's going to be so big and impersonal? I've got a list of small little churches. Let me give it to you quickly. Yeah, here you go. Come on, be careful. There will always be those kind of people who will try and discourage you and keep you from what God has for you. All right, so let's get back to the power of agreement and getting the right people next to us. My brother is sitting in the front here. There was a time in his life where he was backslidden for 10 years. For 10 years he wasn't serving the Lord. And so we'd been praying for him as a family and trusting God for him. But he was working really hard on his testimony, you know. And so, I know it's early. Some of you will get it later. And so, but you know what happens when you've been praying for something for quite a number of years, and eventually it's 8 years, and it's 9 years, and it's 10 years. You know, you get to the point where, you know, I'm not sure if God is going to do this. I'm not sure when God is going to do this. I'm just not sure. And so what happens? You know, doubt starts setting in. And I remember one day specifically, my dad and myself were upstairs here in the office. And so somehow the conversation turned to him, and we were talking about him in his absence. You know, we were just experiencing God's blessing and everything here at church, and we're so excited for what's busy happening here. And yeah, he's missing out, and he's not part of any of this. And right there, we just stopped. It was almost just amazing where we just said, let's up our prayers. Let's get into agreement. Let's trust God for a breakthrough. Do you know it took about a month or two, and God turned him around, and God brought him home. Let's give God praise. I'm sharing that with you today because maybe you've been trusting God for something or for someone, and it's been taking a long time. And in your mind, you're thinking, man, I don't know how this, I don't know, you know, keep trusting God. Get into agreement with somebody else and trust God for a breakthrough, and you'll be amazed what'll happen in your life. And if you're married, by the way, let me just say to you, you've already got that person sharing your bed. Well, at least I hope they are still sharing it. Because as husband and wife, I'm telling you, there's power when you do this. So often when Liesl and I sit down for a meal, if it's just the two of us quickly, and with our kids sort of at the home now, it's very often just the two of us and the dog sitting here waiting for scraps. But we'll say to one another, let's quickly pray and say grace. And right there, we'll use the opportunity just to pray for whatever it is that we're trusting God for, whatever area of breakthrough that we're needing. We'll use that opportunity. Sometimes we're traveling in the car. We're on the way somewhere, and we're busy talking about something, and we'll stop right there and say, come, let's pray. Because sometimes we can talk about it or complain about it instead of praying about it, isn't it? And so we use that opportunity whenever we can, just a couple of moments, just to pray. I'm not saying that you need to pray together as husband and wife every single day. If you're doing that, great, keep doing it. You don't have to stop. Liesl and I don't do it. Because you see what happens, and this is what I found, sometimes something like that can become a ritual, can become just a routine. It's just another thing that we got to do. I like to do it when there's something that's heavy on our hearts or something that we trust in God for. We'll say, come, let's bow. And right there, we'll just bow. Be it in the car, be it wherever in bed, we'll just quickly spend a bit of time. I think husband and wife need to be two of the most powerful people on the face of the earth. Satan shouldn't be able to get anything done in your home, not on your watch. He'll try stuff. Let me say to you, he'll try. Oh, he'll try. He'll initiate stuff, but you can stop him in his tracks when you come together and you pray together. I want to say to you, your prayer alone is not enough. It's not enough. You need to get together with somebody else and give God something to work with. One will put 1,000 to flight. Scripture says 2, 10,000. It's just multiplication of spiritual power. And just a word of warning. Why do you think Satan will try and get you and me to bicker and fight and argue? Because as long as we're arguing, we cannot agree. Come on. And so he knows the power that we have as believers and as husband and wife. And as long as we got these little things happening, we're not going to be agreeing in prayer. We're not going to be coming against him. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Why do you think he says treat her with understanding? Because it's so hard to try and understand. It's getting hot here. I'm feeling daggers from that side. You know why he says that, by the way? Because we're different. That's all it is. He says, just make room. She's different. He's different. She's not wrong and you're right, or vice versa. It's different. It's different. All right, this is not a marriage seminar. Let me carry on. She may be weaker than you are, and that's physical strength. That's all it is. But she's your equal partner in God's gift of new life. I hope you heard that. In terms of spiritual things, she can be on the same level. Treat her, listen to this, treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. So you know what he's saying to us here? If you don't treat one another, and this doesn't open the door for the ladies to treat him any way you think you can. If you don't treat one another the way you should, it'll hinder your prayers. So what he's saying is, if there's strife in the home, it's going to hinder your prayers. That's why Jesus says in Mark 11, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. He says, sort that stuff out. Listen, I want to say to you this morning, God is not interested in your prayers until you've made your peace. God is not interested in your prayers, according to Scripture, until you've made your peace. Because he knows when we're at peace and when we get into agreement, there's power in that. So let me change gears quickly. Let me just say to you, if ever you're in hospital or in a sick bed, I'm giving you a heads up, comb your hair quickly. Because you're going to get a visit from one of our pastors, all right? And it's not because we think you need sympathy. We know you need somebody to stand in agreement with you. And so you don't have to worry about the makeup and all of that stuff. Just the hair quickly, that's fine. We don't wanna skrik when we walk in, all right? Scripture says to us, anyone amongst you sick, call the elders. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. All right? And so that's why the pastors are available here every single Sunday. Oh, you can walk out here, you can go home, you can go and pray at home on your own. No problem. But when you click, when you understand the power of agreement, you make your way forward here. And all you need, you don't have to come and tell them the whole story. You just come and say to them, I need prayer for healing. It's my child, it's my husband, it's my business, it's this, it's that. And please, if when you come forward, don't say to them, let me give you a little bit of background here, and then go back to 1972. They don't have time for that. There are 10 people standing behind you. All right, all you do is you just say to them, I need prayer. And if you don't want to tell them what you need prayer for, that's also fine because God knows. Very often when they come forward and I see, here's a tani and say, well, buy a prat. I show her. God knows. God knows my tani. Come. Let me wrap it up. Let me say to you, there are some battles you will not fight on your own. There are some dreams you're not going to accomplish on your own. Some breakthroughs you're not going to have on your own. And that's why God has brought specific people into your life. Find them. Find them. And remember I said, it's a small group of people that will really stand with you. Because most people, they don't understand this. They don't have the kind of faith we're talking about. They don't understand the power of agreement. They don't have the discipline to even pray for themselves. Those are the people, praying for you. You're not, stop lying. All right? Those aren't the people. Find the person that says to you, I'll pray with you. I'll trust God with you. Let's trust God for a breakthrough. Let's trust God that she's going to turn around. God's going to touch her heart, touch his heart. God's going to bring a breakthrough in this business. Those are the people. I tend to see those people as divine connections. God sent them into our lives. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to plead with them. You don't even have to remind them to pray with you. They'll pray with you. As a matter of fact, they'll remind you. They'll send you a text. Hey, just been praying for you this morning. This is what I sense God is saying. When you find somebody like that, get into agreement. And if you have people in your home, get into agreement with them. All right? Come on, let's stand. Are you glad you came today? I sure am glad you came. I've been wanting to share this message with you. Sure. The last couple of weeks, been burning on my heart. But I wanted to share the other ones first. Really just lay a foundation for you in terms of prayer. And when you understand that, then we go to this level. Because when you combine that with this here, our prayers go to a whole different level. And I'm not telling you to do anything that I'm not doing or Jesus wasn't doing. I'm telling you, I pray with Liesl. We do this. I pray with our pastoral staff. Do you know that we pray together every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock? We start our pastors' meeting on a Monday morning. Every time we get together, we spend time in prayer because we know there's power when we come in agreement. Let's pray. Father, we can't wait to take hands with somebody and just go and sit down and exercise the supernatural power you've made available to us. Help us, Lord, to never, ever be casual about this again. May this become a part of our lives from this day on. And we pray, Lord, that we will become those people who put up our hands and say, I'll pray with you. I'll fast with you. I'll stand with you because God can do a miracle. Yeah. May we become those people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.